Hey everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live podcast. My name is Roddy DeBulsey. I'm joined by Jake Roos, Dane Young, and the Hall of Famer himself, Jim Donnan, former head coach of the University of Georgia Bulldogs, and the reason everyone is tuning in. I am here at Classic City Eats. Everyone else is at home. We're doing the socially responsible thing and distancing everybody out and trying to get through the season, just as the Bulldogs are. They were off this past weekend because of some scheduling the SEC had to do, so we had a week early off week, but now Georgia has six games to go and they will face Kentucky. So I'm sitting here in Classic City Eats about to get some food. I want to give a big shout out to Athens Ford, Your Pie, Academia Brewing Company, Aaron Overhead Doors, and Masada Leather. Of course, and our friends down at DR Construction and Maintenance, big sponsors of our show, and we appreciate each and every one of them. We'll touch on them throughout the show. But Coach, I want to go straight to you. It is game week. We had that kind of unexpected off weekend there. But now Georgia heads to Kentucky, and I want to get your overall thoughts on the Wildcats, because this isn't your granddad's Wildcats. These are some, you know, we always think of Kentucky, it's going to be kind of an easy game, but you can't beat them in basketball. Well, now they're a pretty damn good football team as well. So kind of give us your thoughts on the Kentucky Wildcats.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I mean, this team just perplexes me. I mean, you look at their front on offense and defense, you look at their kicking game, you know, they should have a better record than 2-3. Certainly, that's what worries you, because they're a big, strong, physical team that can knock you back. But I watched that Missouri game just to kind of scout them last week, and they kind of got my attention as the game progressed. It's just that Kentucky couldn't get off the field. The Mizzou Tigers kept the ball away from it. They didn't score a lot of points, but the time of possession, which Dane sent me a text, was just incredible, like 42 to 18 or something like that. It was even worse than that maybe. But in that game, it meant a lot because, you know, they just weren't making any first downs. And, you know, we're going to get their best shot, that's for sure. And we've had a week to, you know, mend up some of these guys. But it always – it's been pretty prevalent the last couple of years that, you know, we hadn't run away and left this Kentucky team, even with our better teams. We've had to make some – last year played in rain, but a couple of years ago up there, you know, made a big play by Swift. But overall, this team, we're going to have to go out there and play our – you know, play really good to win. But if we do, we should win.
Coach, that was Missouri had 43 minutes and 10 seconds time of possession. Kentucky had 16 minutes and 50 seconds. But the one that stuck out to me, total number of plays, Missouri 92, Kentucky 36.
Oh, my God.
That's unreal. Yeah.
That seems impossible almost to me.
Hey, Jake, from a recruiting standpoint, I mean, cut you off there, but
go ahead.
You and I know that when we would talk – over the years, we talk about Kentucky recruiting. They weren't getting the big guys in the trenches. You know, they'd get the Stanley Williams. You know, some of the kind of skill players that didn't go to Alabama, didn't go to Georgia, didn't go to Florida. So there was always, it was kind of like how Kentucky could pluck any 5-star basketball player they wanted, but they had to go to the, you know, 3-stars when it comes to football recruiting. They've landed some pretty big players, and I know I've seen the trend here in the Peach State in the South of guys seriously talking about Kentucky. I think this is a team that's recruited a lot better over the last couple of years.
Yeah, there's no question about it in my mind. I think that, you know, coming from when I started this, you know, 6-7 years back to where they are now, I encourage Kentucky fans. I know it's tough, but I encourage them to remain patient, because I think the 2020 class was probably the best class that they've done in the time that I've been covering recruiting. I mean, you landed a 5-star at Kentucky in Justin Rogers, a kid that Georgia was after really heavily. You know, everybody was for a while there. Felt like he just wanted to stay closer to home. You know, kind of OLDL guy, you know, a huge upside regardless of where he lands. But, you know, a great running back in Michael Drennan last year. Bo Allen was a good player they pulled. You know, I mean, it seems like every year they are taking some steps forward when it comes to the talent that they're able to bring in. You know, it's a much more gradual climb than some of the teams that Georgia faces on a week-in, week-out basis, and certainly that Georgia faces. But you know, I think that that staff has done a fantastic job, especially, you know, given what they have to work with. Like you said, the legacy is not there that, that you're necessarily a big time football school, but they're really starting to turn the corner, I think, when it comes to the talent level that they're putting out there. And I don't know that it's going to be that big of a deal this year, but, you know, in the next couple of years, this is a young, talented group that they brought in 2020. And I think that those guys can make some noise for them.
Yeah, Coach, I'm not trying to make Kentucky up to be, you know, the 85 Bears or anything like that, but I'm just thinking that this just not the same Kentucky team that we've seen in the past. They're not just a pushover. I know Georgia has a 10-game winning streak against them. Georgia's a 14.5-point favorite going into this game. I think you don't want to catch Georgia after that embarrassing loss to Alabama when they were doing really well in the first half, and that second half had to left a very bad taste in the mouth of all the Bulldog players. They're going to take it out on somebody. I imagine they're going to take it out on the Wildcats this coming Saturday. I expect the Bulldogs to win. I expect them – hell, they might even cover. Wouldn't surprise me. But the question everybody's going to ask, they don't want to hear about Kentucky. They want to hear about Georgia because they want to know who is going to be under center against Kentucky this coming Saturday for Georgia. Who is going to be the Georgia Bulldogs quarterback? I know that, you know, when Stetson Bennett had that rough outing against Alabama – the number one topic that night, the following day, the last 8 days in a row has been, what is the status of the backup quarterback, specifically JT Daniels? Why isn't he ready to go? Why you brought him in? He's a five-star. He should be the starter, or Dwan Mathis or Carson Beck. So kind of give us your thoughts on the whole quarterback situation at UGA.
Okay, before I do that, I'm just going to ask you guys a question, which I've been thinking about here.
This is never good when you ask us questions.
In 2017, the national championship game, when Georgia had all those players on offense, how many points did we score in the first half?
Remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
The answer, because I looked it up, is 13. We had 13 points. We had them 13-0 at the half. Then in the championship game and when we played them in 18 in a SEC, how many points we score in the first half?
Don't ask me questions about history.
I know you know the answer. Why are you doing this stuff? Yeah. You're just making us look dumb to look dumb.
21. Okay, we scored 21.
Okay, I was going to say 17. But
with a lot of really talented players. Last week, we scored 24 with two freshmen starting, one at right tackle, one at wide receiver, a lot of guys that hadn't even played. We scored 24 points.
And without Don Blaylock.
And everybody's saying, hey, we can't beat Alabama with this guy. Well, we had enough points to more points than we ever had in the first half. And we talk about Alabama regardless any way you look at it. So I'm not on this crusade to say that anybody's right or anybody's wrong. I just believe in Kirby and his ability to pick out his players based on who he thinks gives them the best chance to win. He picked Fromm because he thought he gave him the best chance to win. That's what happened. It didn't work out as good as far as the final result, but it worked out. And, of course, we lost Fields, and that's all that stuff can go over. We can't talk about it. But I really feel like people are shortchanging what this guy brings to the table, because we need a mobile quarterback that can throw the ball to be effective with this team. For us to win, our defense is going to have to play much better than it did. Much better. 33 first downs, all those big plays. Every big play they had to make, we never defended one of them to make a difference. So for our team to be competitive and be in the playoff hunt, our defense is going to have to play a lot better. Our offense is going to have to play better. And our kicking game is going to have to be the same. But notwithstanding, I just feel like that Bennett gives us the best chance to win based on what I know about everything that's happened in practice, everything that this kid, all the time he's put in with our offense. And here's the last thing I'm going to say. A long time ago, Socrates said these two words, know thyself. When you say stuff like that, what you're doing is, you know, to tolerate your imperfections. We've got some imperfections. There's no questions about it. But accentuate your strengths. We've got some strengths. So it is what it is, what it is. So you can harp on it and talk about it, but our offensive coaches are going to play the best guy. And right now, based on everything that's happened on this season, he's the best guy for us because we need a mobile quarterback. We need a guy with an arm that can throw on the run. We got to run the ball better. And that's my final answer, Regis Philbin.
I love when Coach gets philosophical. That's like one of my favorite parts of any show. When you drop some Socrates on us, I know it's always going to be a good show, Coach. I did want to ask you, going back to Kentucky real quick, when you look at the Wildcats, and I know that we're going to talk about the quarterback plenty today. That's why I'm not hesitating to circle back around on the Wildcats. But when you're looking at that team, what are some of the steps that you've seen them take forward? You know, like Roddy said, this is not the Kentucky of old. You know, where are some of the areas they've improved? What are some of the things that you see from them when you're watching them on tape?
Just line of scrimmage, they're just so physical and can take on blocks defensively, offensively. They can knock people around. They're big, strong guys, and they're hard to defend because they Wilson can throw the ball good enough. But for some reason, last week, they just got in a funk. And a lot of times that's happened to really good offense. You know, you don't make a first down, you start pressing, you can't get back on the field. It's like playing – last week was like playing a wishbone team. You could never get on the field on offense. And then when you went out there, you struggled, except for that one drive where they just went straight down the field. And I think deep down, Kentucky felt really good about themselves after whipping Tennessee finally. And they went in there a little bit cocky because, you know, let's face it, Mizzou's not a lot to worry about based on their record to that point. But they just didn't, as Coach Stoops talked about, they just got out whipped at the line of scrimmage. But and this is going to be a game where we got to be ready to go and not give them any juice. And if we get ahead of them, that's going to be hard because then our defense can really light them up rushing the pass. That's not their real forte. They're not a passing team. They like to play action. So we'll see how it all points out. But I think one of the things that we got to be careful about as a program, I'm talking about this program as a dog nation, is worrying about what are we going to do to beat Alabama. We got to win these other games and build some momentum. And I like what Kirby said when we was answering about the quarterbacks. You got to develop some continuity. You can't be going in there every day and giving two or three guys reps with the ones. You can do it in the off week, that's for sure. But these kids believe in Stetson and they know what he can do. Listen to him talk about him. We don't have any of our players tweeting out like Toto did for or whatever his name is for Tennessee. Let's put in Harrison Bailey. You don't see anything about like that. And it's good for have dialogue and everybody think about. But the unknown here, the unknown about Daniels makes it so much even more prevalent because everybody saw us lose in the second half, but we did get 24 points, three more than we ever got against Alabama. And we did it very decisively. And just because we did it then, I think we can do it again. Plus they don't have Waddle. You talk about a huge deficit in their team. Yeah. Now you can double regardless who these other two guys, you can double Smith's. They played their whole game with 12 personnel because they were worried about our rush. They had five or six blockers on every pass protection. They never let that guy be, let us get to him with any regular rushes. They always had five or six because they worried about our rush. Now, when we can defend the pass a little bit better, they better be ready for that rush against us. So I'm not just saying that we're going to go in there and swarm them or anything, but without Waddle, that's a big difference in that football team.
Very big point.
I got a question here actually that relates right into what Coach was just saying, and we've got several questions to get to today. But this one, I thought you mentioned taking reps and splitting reps and that kind of thing. This one from Kay Leland on the board. He says, if you think Daniels is going to be the guy at some stage this year, do you make him a starter immediately, or do you have him split some time with Bennett in the games?
Well, that's his prerogative to answer that question. He's not the guy. If he was the guy, he'd already be playing. He's been cleared for 3 or 4 weeks now. He's not the guy. I mean, nothing against him, but if he was, don't you think Kirby Smart would be playing him? Don't you think Munkin would be playing him? he has not shown enough based on what I hear and see and listen to Kirby say to say he's the guy. The guy is the one that the coaches feel like can win the game for us.
And well, Coach, here, let me interrupt you there, because here is what the narrative is, and I want you to address it because you can't.
I won't hear this bullshit about cleared and all that.
It's the idea that the kid is they said, look, this is the guy who can – Kirby's focused on winning the next game. Anthony Dasher just did a very good column at UGASports.com saying, look, you either trust Kirby Smart and Todd Monken or you don't, you know, and that's kind of comes up. People point to the Justin Fields issue and stuff like that and say, well, they're you know, Kirby's not bad. He's bad at picking quarterbacks despite his win-loss record. But the idea is if this – he is the player of the future, you know – why are you not playing him now? Kirby's so focused on the next game, he's not focused on the grand prize. And I think that's almost a mutually exclusive way of looking at it. To me, you can say, well, okay, if JT Daniels is the player, the quarterback of the future, he's the one that you need for that SEC championship game if you get there. And as the person just asked, you know, why do you play him some in practice? Do you play him some in the games? If you're focusing solely on the next game, you're not focused on the big picture. But to me, if you're not winning the next game, you don't get to the big picture. You don't get to that game. Am I missing something there, or am I missing something in the coaching philosophy?
It's a good question by the guy, and it makes a lot of sense. If we had that hunky-dory deal that we could be on cruise control to get to there, but we got to beat the next two teams we play are the two bets we play on the rest of our schedule. Now, we certainly these other games we could lose, like we lost to South Carolina last year with mistakes and all. But yeah, we got two teams that match our personnel the best, or as far as talent, or the next two games. So, but again, I think it's you can't be worried about three or four games down the road. You would do that the first of the year, maybe, when you really want to, you know, against Arkansas starting out. But at that point, he wasn't cleared. But
I think
if he was ready, he would be – if he was ready to be the quarterback and gave us the best chance to win, he'd be playing. He didn't win the job in preseason when everything was – he had the same opportunity that everybody else did. They didn't tackle in preseason. He didn't win the job from Dwan Mathis. Dwan beat him out. So, and then the other guy, Bennett, came in and when he wasn't cleared, he couldn't play anyhow. But you see what I'm saying? When Dwan beat him out, because
I think that's the part of the confusion, Coach. And I want to bring Dane in here real quick because I know he's got a point. But I think some people say, well, he couldn't have won the position in the fall camp because he wasn't cleared, and they were never going to give him a shot to be the quarterback.
True. But Dwan beat him out based on what happened, and Dwan was going to be the quarterback when he was cleared.
Okay, that's good to think. I
think some of the confusion is that the report did come out last week that JT Daniels was taking some snaps with the ones during the bye week. To which I would say, duh, it's a bye week. A lot of guys are going to get snaps with different people and different position groups and different units. That's just what you do sometimes on bye weeks to get a look like that. But when it came time to prep for Kentucky, who was right back in the saddle was QB1.
Yeah, hey, I'm all for Daniels if he's the guy. I'm just defending my coach here, and that's part of the reason I do this show. And certainly I'm going to defend him in the fields just from the standpoint Fromm did a lot of good things for us, and that's why he kept the job. We felt like Fields might still stay and then have a chance to win. But how many guys would actually let a guy beat somebody out that just took you to what the guy just did the 2 years before? So that's what happened there. And I don't think that Chaney really felt good about it as much as anything. He was a coordinator too. So here's the deal. Any way you look at it, off week, you're going to see if Daniels is better than you thought he was when his knee wasn't cleared. And if it was, he's going to be ready to come in there if Bennett falters. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, I agree, and I think Dane brings up a good point. We didn't put it on the board last week, but we found out that and Kirby mentioned, he said, I let all the quarterbacks get snaps, you know, get reps, meaning that they all got reps with the number one offense, you know, which is great. Everybody gets a shot in the off week. a lot of offensive linemen moved around. Some of the defensive guys in the secondary moved around, tried different things. You bring in some young guys, give them shots, you know. You hold back some of your guys who have a little bit of a that are banged up a little bit. You don't run Kenny McIntosh in those practices because he had a bum knee. You let him rest. But you say, hey, okay, hey, maybe Dejon Edwards, you get a few more carries. So we could take a lot of the jockeying for position in that bye week and report it this week all breathlessly and go, hey, here's the changes that are coming. Those changes are not coming. We found out yesterday, Monday, Stetson Bennett took the reps with the number one offense. So who's your starter this coming Saturday? Stetson Bennett. Do you trust Kirby? Do you trust Todd Monken? I mean, I know Kirby's a defensive coach, but I have a lot of faith in Todd Monken. I think so far what I've seen, I've been very impressed with, and I think Bane brings up a good point. You know, they're going to go with the guy that gives them the best chance to win. And I think a lot of people are kind of a little stargazing because, Dane, when you went back and looked at some of the tape, I don't know that it's shocking that a conservative coach like Kirby's not ready to hand the ball over to a less mobile JT Daniels with a propensity for turnovers.
Not at all, especially with Georgia's offensive line still developing and yeah, gaining cohesion, which is kind of the word of the week at Georgia right now. JT Daniels is not as mobile as either of the other two guys playing quarterback for Georgia. And he
with a healthy knee. Let's make that up there. With a healthy knee.
Yes, even when completely healthy before ACL injury, he was less mobile than both of these guys. And I would tell you, based on what I watched on film and the stats that I saw, he is as much or a greater risk of turnover. Look, the high side on a JT Daniels arm may be that he has NFL throws during a game. He's got that kind of ability. But the low side is that you may not keep the football, and that's scary. And so with Georgia's offense and the quality of the defense, you just want to reduce turnovers. And that's what ended up losing the game against Alabama, turnovers.
Obviously, who can give you those turnovers? There's the rub.
We're going to win ugly. I mean, that's our best chance. We're a defensive-loaded football team with a great kicking game, and our offense is very young. I warned you the second pod of the year that this offense was going to take some time. It's still a
– You got ripped for that, too.
It's going to take some time, and obviously 4 weeks it ought to be better than it is. But all of a sudden now, you got Milton coming on. You got Cook coming back. You got an offensive line that's gelling. You got McKinney in there who missed the first two games. You got these young receivers that even though Burton missed some, he's coming on. Roseme's coming on. So I think the upside for this offense is a lot bigger than the downside.
I agree.
Roddy, there are some questions in the chat here, and I actually think they're valid. They're saying, all right, if that's the case with JT, then why sign him? Why give him a scholarship? And I'll tell you, because you need depth. Because if you didn't have JT Daniels right now, Georgia would have two scholarship quarterbacks, and that's not enough.
That's a good question, but here's why they signed him. We signed him because there was a lot of things up in the air about our offense. You know, we were bringing in a quarterback that we didn't know what he's going to do, and the kid from Wake Forest. And, you know, Munkin at that point had never even seen Bennett play because we didn't have spring practice. He didn't know anything about it.
He hadn't seen Carson Beck play. He hadn't seen Dwan Mathis play. I mean, he's only seen film of Jamie Newman. You don't know that Jamie Newman is going to come in and be able to do the exact same things that he did at Wake Forest. I mean, the competition is completely different.
He had seen and heard about what they had done in 7-on-7 and all that because that's what they did all spring and before COVID. And wasn't that encouraged by what he had heard about? That's why I would think he would take Daniels, and I'm glad we got Daniels. And hopefully he's going to get a chance to go in there and do what he's capable of doing, but in a role where he comes in where we're ahead. And then if all of a sudden things aren't working out, at this point, I don't know if he'd be the next guy in. I don't know if Dwan comes in or not. Who comes in next?
I also want to point out, too, I don't really understand that question because that's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't for Kirby Smart. I mean, if you get a chance to take a 5-star quarterback, you're going to do that every time. And if somebody – and if fans were to find out that you had that chance and you passed on that, don't you think he'd be catching the same hell for that he did for the field situation? I mean, I don't understand. If you're going to cast your lot with a guy, you want to cast your lot with this guy. You know, will it work out? Maybe not. Who knows? But it's as good of a bet as any as you're going to be able to get your hands on. So you've got to take the bet every time. I mean, I guarantee you, having the chance to do it over, Georgia does the same thing. I think any staff on the, in the country would have.
Well, think if you'd not taken him, you'd had Jamie Newman, who decides at the last minute to opt out. You'd have been left with a Dwan Mathis, who's coming off a brain cyst surgery. You'd have Stetson Bennett, you know, the former two-star who's now on scholarship, and a true freshman, Carson Beck. So, of course, you're like, well, let's bring in Jamie Newman, and if it doesn't work out, we can get a five-star backup, the kid that was only behind Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields in the recruiting rankings. But yeah,
Who's got real-world playing experience. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the other thing about it, too. This is a kid who's won games on the big stage. I mean, I understand that logic. I mean, if you're frustrated with JT Daniels, that's one thing. I get that. That's fair. And it's fair to say that maybe Georgia is too. Maybe I don't know that. But I don't think that there's any second guessing the option of taking him back back in May.
Well, he's running your scout team right now. So that's going to help you. Speaking of good decisions, if we get a chance, you need to swing by our friends at Athens Ford. If you go to their website, you'll get that $250 off coupon on any vehicle. So you just go in, put in your name and phone number, and you'll get a $250 off coupon you can use when you go to the when you do anything online, or if you swing by Athens Ford. Fantastically clean facility. I mean, immaculate. I think you could probably perform open heart surgery in their showroom. It's just clean of places you'll ever see in your life, especially the waiting area, which I was in the other day when I was having oil change and getting new tires and stuff. We really should move this show into that weight room, because free snacks, free drinks, great Wi-Fi. And maybe I can get a chance to talk them up and ask them to get me on that list for those Broncos. I don't know if you've seen the new Broncos, but you get a chance, swing by their website, check out the new Broncos that Ford is bringing back. They look fantastic. I'm just drooling over here looking at this 2021 Bronco and the Bronco Sports. I want one back. We need to get about 6,000 new subscribers at UGASports.com in the next week or two, so I can go ahead and get my reservation down for one of these Broncos, because they look fantastic. But of course, they have 865 cars on the lot, tons of new specials, tons of used specials. Certified, they're Georgia's number one pre-owned Ford certified pre-owned dealer in the state. So check them up. And of course, any vehicle you buy from them, new or pre-owned, under 80,000 miles, will have a lifetime powertrain warranty on it. You can't get that anywhere else. So hit up our friends at Athens Ford. And also, if you're having, when you go to park your new Bronco or you park your Ford F-150, it is truck month, and you get a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, and you go to park it in your garage. And let's say you have a problem with your garage door. It's not opening all the way, or you hit a little button in the car and it won't open, or you need to get your new vehicle, you need to get that button on it to open the garage door coated so that it works. Hit up our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors, AARON. No matter where you are, pretty much in Northeast Georgia, Gwinnett County, Cobb County, DeKalb County, Barrow, Habersham, Dawson, North Fulton, Hall, Stevens, Jackson, Forsyth, Clark, Cherokee, Walton, Oconee, they will come out and they will fix your garage door, install a garage door. They will do they'll put in commercial work. I mean, commercial or residential, if you need anything for a garage door, our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors, AARON. I'm about to switch out the ad on the front of our website to show that if you let them know that you saw their ad at UGASports.com, you will get 10% off your commercial or residential service. So check out Ryan Lucia and our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors, AARON, for any of your garage door needs, repairs, buildings, installations, any of that stuff. All right, Jake.
I want to make one more point on this quarterback thing.
All right.
To me, this is, and for everybody who's been watching this show or everybody who's been following the Georgia program for some time, to me, this is like deja vu. I mean, this is like,
yes,
this is, how many times are we going to go down this road as people who are observers of this program, where we say, well, it's the backup. This happened with Bryce Ramsey. This happened with Joe Tereshinski. This happened with, I mean, this, it's the same thing over and over again, right? DJ Shockley, right. And so, like Dash said, and I think he made a great point to say, you either trust Kirby Smart or you don't. And if you don't, then you don't think he's the guy for the job, right? I mean, that's ultimately what you're saying, is that you need somebody else in here who can make a better decision. So if that's how you feel, then say that. Don't necessarily say, oh, well, you know, I'm questioning this decision. Either you're with it or you're not. And I'm not saying either way. I mean, I get where the guy's going, and I do think that he's making the best call for his program. I think Kirby Smart wants to win more than anybody in the stands wants to win. I promise you that. But
let me interrupt you there, because I do want to point out something that exactly what you're saying to me. It's fair to question a guy's history at a position, you know.
Sure.
But I think what a lot of it comes down to, and this is the thing I've seen over and over again, it's, well, Kirby makes great decisions apparently about, you know, who his star is going to be and who his starting, you know, strong side safety is going to be and, you know, who the boundary corner is going to be. And maybe all along the offensive line, he oversees that stuff. But maybe he's got a blind spot when it comes to quarterbacks, you know. And I've seen the thing, he's too loyal. Everyone said he was too loyal to Jake Fromm. You know, he's too loyal to Stetson Bennett. He won't try these other guys. He pulled Dwan Mathis, put Stetson in, but then when Stetson struggled, he didn't pull Stetson. I don't – this is going to sound horrible, but I don't see Kirby Smart as being loyal. I see Kirby Smart as being focused on winning. And at any point, in my opinion, if he thinks that the guy on the bench, the guy on the sideline, the guy signaling in the plays is a better option than the guy who's in the game, that's who's going to go in. You see him pull guys that have penalties. You see him pull guys that have issues. You saw him. He pulled Dwan Mathis. Dwan was having a bad game. He pulled him. Where was that loyalty to Dwan? You know. So I don't. As what got me started, and I don't mean to go off on a tangent, but when you said there's nobody that wants to win more than Kirby Smart, I believe that. I mean, everything he does is focused on it. I don't think that he's going to allow. And you've seen the politics where they play a senior over a sophomore who's really good. You know, you see it at the high school level. That doesn't happen. How many freshmen get in on these, get in on special teams, get in these games? Coach, you've done it. You've had players you've loved. You know, kids, you treat them like your son, but you start somebody else over them because you think that guy gives you a better chance to win. Am I right?
Right. And it's a tough situation, but the way I would say it, I've always talked to our fans and everything. Even if we disagree, we can still be friends.
Nope.
This is still the Dogs. This is still Georgia. This is your team. So let's don't harp on it. Let's make the best of it. And if you want to, at the end of the year, you want to go over it again, then okay. But right now, I just feel like the guy gives us the mobility we need with our line, and he knows the system. He's very good at RPOs. He had some balls knocked down, that's for sure. He'll learn by that. He'll get better at moving in the pocket. But give him the benefit of the doubt. Don't pull for him not to do well. I mean, the kid's really given a lot of loyalty to Georgia. We wouldn't be in this position if it wasn't for him. Can you think about what would have happened to us if we'd have lost that Arkansas game or Auburn or Tennessee? Played really good. So, but let's see what happens, and let's go on. And I think we've spent enough time on. If you got some more question on it, we can certainly. But I think everybody needs to remember that little phrase. Even if we disagree, we can still be friends.
And I'll just say, from the thousand feet view of the whole thing. If any team in football, college, pro, JUCO, high school, peewee, if you lose your starting quarterback 2 weeks before your first game, it's not like everything's going to be hunky-dory at that position. It just does not work that way.
Well, you see what's going to happen down at LSU this week. They're going to go back to that guy that they feel like gives them the best chance to win after this kid played great last week. So, and if all of a sudden they don't do well this week, And that guy's on the sideline, can you imagine the feedback he's going to get? But why would you think he would play Brennan over Finley? Because he thinks he's the best quarterback.
Right? Exactly.
And I will say this too. Roddy, you talked about people saying Kirby Smart has a blind spot for quarterback. I would possibly support that notion if you came into this season with the same situation you had last season, which was one clear guy and then a shaky backup and nothing else beyond that. Instead, in the offseason, they go out and get a grad transfer, a five-star kid. They get their four-star kid cleared. They sign a four-star quarterback in the freshman class. I get that it's not maybe playing out how you would hope, But the fact of the matter is, it's not like they're turning a blind eye to it.
Well, the criticism comes down that, well, they're not picking the right guy. But I think it's because everybody was behind Stetson Bennett when he comes in and wins your game against Arkansas, when he takes Auburn to the woodshed, when you go on a tear in the second half against Tennessee and you come back and win that game. All of a sudden, he's got Sports Center, ESPN Game Day productions about him, you know, then score 24 points, take a, which should have been 24-17 lead into halftime on the road at Alabama. But that second half soured a lot of people. I'm like, damn, how fickle are we? You know, a couple tip balls that are not his fault. And all of a sudden, you know, bring in the other guy that we've never seen before. You know, I just, and again, I'm not trying to defend him. Maybe JT's the guy, but I'm not getting paid $7 million a year to make that. I'm only getting paid in chicken fingers here at Classic 2D.
One other thing I want to point out about making the picks. He picked Eason. Eason beat Fromm out.
Yep.
So as far as making decisions there, they decided to go with Eason over Fromm. And then once Fromm started rolling, he did the right thing. I would have done the same thing. You can't put Eason in there the way that team was winning and with that defense. So that, to me, that was a pretty good quarterback decision. Then you got the next year, you got a guy coming in here, and the way Justin's played, it makes it look bad because we're thinking, wow, well, he could be our quarterback now. But hard to put Fromm on the bench the way he was winning, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. All right, here's up another question, Jake.
Yeah, so let's get back into some of this is actually a quarterback-related question, but a little bit different vein here. Over on the board, this question says, how are we going to develop a backup quarterback if all you do is let them hand the ball off? What about letting them run some plays, run the game plan with the first team when the band is playing, as Coach said? What do you think, Coach?
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, that probably could be a little bit more of a factor now. I mean, we've been ahead. And like last year, Stetson just ran the clock out. That's for sure. We really didn't put anybody away that much except Georgia Tech. But I think the thing that people don't realize is we probably run three times more reps in practice than we do a game every day. So they got a lot of work against the number one defense if they're on number two or if they're on a scout team. We got all those reps, but the fans don't see it. And game reps, I would certainly agree with him. Go ahead and don't worry about the other team. You can do like Ryan Day, apologize that they didn't know how to do the victory formation, so they went ahead and scored against Ohio State with 5 seconds to go. That was one of the all-time apologies I've ever seen. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw them whipping himself with the back. I'm sorry to have my freshman quarterback score on you guys yet again, so that we hit the over in the betting. Yeah.
Speaking of great apologies, shout out to Lane Kiffin yesterday.
I mean, we got to send some pennies to him.
I will 20, collect
25,000, I think, is what he's asking for.
If he needs 25 million because he can't do math.
Penny for your thoughts. But, hey, when is somebody going to really – something's really saying, when's somebody going to jump on the SEC a little bit? I mean, I know – Sankey's done a good job on the COVID and all, but you know, Steve Shaw's left and they got a new director of officials and everything. But you know, those are two life changing calls there. I mean,
hey, Coach, I want to complain about this because I get a hell of a lot of grief because I complain about the refs a lot. And it's not, and I mentioned SEC refs specifically. And every time I do, someone says, oh, you're making excuses, you know, for your team, the team you cover. I'm like, no, you know, you go back to that Alabama game, there's a BS call, you know, going back to Tyler Simmons, you know, you have the one on Eric Stokes, and then you see Auburn twice be the recipient of beneficial calls, Alabama in this case, you know, against Georgia. And I'm like, look, there is an issue here. It's not just a funny talking point or a funny tweet. There is a major issue here. And everybody likes to say their conference officials are the worst, but this, for as much money as this program brings, as the SEC brings in, can't something be done about this? And instead of, we missed that call and
lose the game. We've got a question that is directly related to this. And, Coach, I'm going to throw this one to you. This is from Old Fourth Dog. He was the one who asked about officiating last week. He said, so part two of last week's question, after getting hosed by officials, complaining to the league about it, receiving comments from head of officials, What happens if it continues? Fairly obvious at this point that Auburn and Alabama got professional treatment and the officials are nowhere near unbiased. What now? Lawsuits? Riots?
You know, the thing that's got to happen, you got to sit them down. Whoever missed the call, you got to, you know, if you can't miss a call like that, and then whoever the replay guy was can't miss it, and then the guy in Birmingham who's watching the TV copy, he's got to be ready to do it too. So he watches a TV copy, and then they get back on it and show the other part. I think that's the way it all works out. But let me just tell you something. You got to answer the phone, man. There's too much riding on this. You know, Coach Pittman's trying to build a program. He could be 3-1 right now. Coach, same thing's true for Coach Lane Kiffin. He could be 2-3 right now. I mean, that game's over with the recovery in the end zone. I mean, and I think at that point, I would have called timeout if I'm Kiffin anyway, just to harass them to the point they got to look at it, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. When you have a – and one of the reasons I bring it up is not – I'm not just trying to complain. I'm not just talking about the times that Georgia gets hosed. There's a reason I have a weekly tweet about officiating, you know, primed and ready to go on my phone when the game starts, because I know I'm going to have to use it at some point. It's a situation where if people feel that the fix is in, they will tune away from the sport. And I know it sounds – that sounds maybe reactionary, but if you feel that every time that your team takes the field, it's you versus their 11 plus six referees, you give up. You like, I can't –
I wouldn't say it's a fix, and I wouldn't say it's –
But when you see it week after week, because the SEC office says the same thing. We're going to sit down with this guy. We're going to work with these guys. We're going to fix this. And this is going on for decades. It never gets better.
You get the benefit, that's for sure.
So just some people are going to be like, they're casual fans, like, well, it doesn't matter because everyone, they're trying to protect this team or they're trying to promote this, you know, and it sounds like a conspiracy theory, but enough, you repeat it enough times and we don't see anything. If you never see it being addressed, like you say, if you don't answer the phone on it, it looks like you're fine with it. There's nothing to push back against the conspiracy theory. That's my take.
All right. Let's get into some Kentucky questions. We got a couple of those today. Gary Tommy over on the board with a good one here. He says, Kentucky struggled passing the ball this season. They've always been more of a run-first offense, but this seems to be another season for Mark Stoops where the offense feels pretty one-dimensional. I'm wondering how you guys think Kentucky moves the ball on defense, on Georgia's defense, given that they've had 2 weeks to prepare for a more one-dimensional attack. He says, I don't see them moving the ball much at all.
Yeah, I could see him making a move with Joey Gatewood and giving him a shot, you know, a little bit better passer, maybe not the runner that Wilson is, just to challenge our team, because I don't think they're going to be able to bulldoze our team physically. Well, we can match up with them. And to be a good running team, you've got to be able to throw play action passes, because otherwise people are just going to stack the box on you. So, the way they're going to try to move the ball on us is run the ball and throw good passes off their best runs. That's what they'd try to do.
And that's what they've struggled with. Terry Wilson has not been accurate in passing this year. They have a bit of a quarterback crisis in the sense of just not being able to execute those RPOs that they do or anything over the top. So like Coach is saying, teams are able to stack the box. I think you're going to see up the gut runs. I think you're going to see option reads and maybe try to get quarterbacks in, you know, out in the open to throw a bit. But Kentucky would love nothing more than 3 yards per play and run the clock out, because that's its best chance to beat Georgia.
Very fair.
All right, we got this one for Coach. Our buddy Chuck Ward over on the board says, on road games like Kentucky, did you prefer to just go ahead, get it over with, play early and get it out of the way, get home? Or do you prefer to play later in the afternoon and evening, give the team a little bit more time to get acclimated to their surroundings?
Hey, I'd love to play breakfast at Lexington. The earlier you can play, the better, to get rest for the next week. To, you know, once you get up there and get your feet under you as far as the trip's concerned, get off the plane and get settled and get sleep. I mean, I'm for the early games Certainly, I wouldn't want to play like they're going to play on the West Coast. They're going to play a 9 o'clock game, their first game for TV, 9 o'clock in the morning at the Coliseum. They're going to play. USC's playing, I think, Utah or somebody like that in 2 weeks. So, but I like playing early. Plus, you get back and get a chance for your kids to rest and, you know, get treatment. And 4, 5, 6 hours sometimes the difference in a guy being ready the next week compared to finishing the game at 12 o'clock at night.
I like that idea of a 9 a.m. game. It takes you back to when you're playing Little League. Be at the baseball field by 7:30. Oh, yeah.
Hey, you see some high school games like that where teams share stadiums Thursday through Saturday, and then all of a sudden you'll get like a 10:30 kickoff on a Saturday morning.
Hell, I know we've been to Corky Kell starting out for those, you know, 9 a.m. kickoffs, 8 a.m. kickoffs. You know, it's like you wake up at 5:15 to get ready to drive to Atlanta.
Pac-12's got to get some TV, though. That's what they're – I mean, they're starving for money, and – by doing this, they can get some 12 o'clock windows, and they're going to be playing all day. I mean, one game starts like 7 o'clock Pacific time, which is 10 o'clock Eastern. So, but they got to do something to get their venue out to the public.
Absolutely. Speaking of getting stuff out to the public, I want to mention our friends at YourPie. They have these new kicking pepperoni sticks. You get these breadsticks that have pepperoni on them, house pickled jalapenos, mozzarella, and they're drizzled with Mike's hot honey. These are phenomenal. You got to try them. You'll absolutely love them. Of course, that comes as part of their new series. They have the hot honey pepperoni pizza. It's a take your crust, whichever crust you want. They'll put marinara on it, pepperoni, pepperdew peppers, house pickled jalapenos, feta, mozzarella cheese, fresh basil. Then they drizzle it with that Mike's hot honey. Fantastic stuff. 50 plus locations of your pies all over the place. And if you order online on Tuesdays, you get double points. So do this every Tuesday, make Tuesday your pie day. So that when you go to order, do it on the app, because you only have to order a few times on that app and you're going to get free pizzas, free breadsticks, free stuff like that. Plus you can refer your friends to it and get free breadsticks all the time. You can get the new kicking pepperoni breadsticks, but hit them up on the app on Tuesdays and you get double the points. So it's, I know people talk about, hey, I get Kroger rewards or I get, hotel rewards. And they feel like if you stick with that one system, you get rewards a lot. It's the same with YourPie. They are very, very generous in their point system. So you can get a lot of free food if you use the YourPie app. So be sure to do that. And speaking of eating, this Saturday at noon, if you're going to check out the game, you can come here to Classic City Eats. We know it'll be on here, and you'll get all the great chicken they do, their the great pork they do, the mojo pork. I'm telling you got to try that. But if you want to go out to another place, try Academia Brewing Company. They have a ton of new beers out of Academia Brewing Company. They just had canning day. They canned their Skull, which Jake and I have sat here and drank plenty of those Skull beers. They just packaged those up. And when you go out to their parking lot, I want you to see this new award-winning bus they have. They have the Academia bus. They've took this old bus. They've customized it. They're doing all this crazy stuff to it. They won two trophies recently at a local car show. You got to see this thing. It's in the parking lot. You got to check it out. And, of course, you can get their front side grind, their Berliner Weiss. I think you're going to like that. And, again, the Skull is – just 21 hours ago, they just canned it all. So check out the Skull with our friends at Academia Brewing Company. When you go in there, they have the giant projection screens up with the game on. They have great seating over there. It's all immaculately cleaned, but they have spaced out seating so you can sit and watch the games. They have the lounge section with the couches that you can sit and enjoy it. So great food, great drinks, great Bulldog football on this Saturday at noon. Check out our friends at Academia Brewing Company. Matt Casey and them are giant Georgia fans, so you know that thing is going to be loud and fun. And if you want, you can even eat outside in their beer garden. So, hey, it's still October, so hit them up when you get a chance. Give us another question, Jake.
Could I interject some quirky college football news that is sure. breaking? I'm saying this on Twitter. So Pete Pham was reporting this. He says Southern Miss interim coach Scotty Walden will be the next head coach at Austin Peay. He will leave immediately, and Southern Miss assistant Tim Billings will become the school's third head coach of the season.
Wow. Jeez.
Tim Billings was assistant coach for me at Marshall. Way to go, Tim.
Nice. Congratulations to Tim.
Well, he's gonna have to calm the ship there, because Todd Monken's old stomping grounds are a lot of transition.
He was interim coach last week when the guy had COVID, so the coach is going to go even with COVID. He's going to take over Austin Peay. You know, Austin Peay played two games early to try to make some money, both of them big money games, and so now Austin Peay's going to play one double A schedule in the spring. So I guess he's going to get up there and get them going.
Speaking of quirky college football news and quarterbacks, as we've been talking about a lot, what about that situation in Wisconsin, man? Down to the fourth string quarterback, Mertz, and the third string now diagnosed with COVID. Second string guy hurt. I mean, you're down to option four.
The starter has walked out on the field. His name was Cone, I think, C-O-A-N, with a boot on his foot. So, but, you know, what's really kind of a paradox for all of us is SEC, if you test positive, you're out 10 days. Big 10, 21. So they're really they're going overboard on it, which, okay, that's all right. But
ridiculous.
You're missing 3 weeks of games.
Paul Chris got to be just shaking his head, crying out to his brother Jesus.
That's why you take the 5-star QB when you get a chance.
All right. I did want to touch on a little bit of recruiting today, since we had a big story on that last week. We talked about five potential guys to watch. Sure enough, one comes off the board last Thursday night. That's Kamari Lassiter.
Oh, yeah. This is Jake's way of patting himself on the back, because when he was sitting next to me last week, and he's like, some news is coming. Right now, he gets all mysterious, you know, knowing something's coming. And, yeah. Now, good job. When you did your – five names to watch, you nailed it. Now of course I'm looking at the other four like, let's go.
Well, you know, the big news this week, I guess, to be watching will be on Friday. That's going to be Tyrion Ingram. Dawkins has come out and said that he's ready to make his commitment. 4-star defensive end out of Gaffney, South Carolina, 6'6", 295 right now, a guy we just had a story on UGA Sports, so make sure to get over and check that one out. Basically, he opened up to me and said, listen, Georgia's recruiting me the hardest right now. I mean, you know, a lot of these teams are showing me love, but Georgia has been consistent throughout. They've really shown me that I'm a priority for them. So going into this weekend, you got to feel like Georgia's sitting in a very good spot for the 4-star guy on the defensive line. And like I said, this is a guy that Georgia has really put a lot of resources into, really invested a lot of time in, you know.
But hasn't Tennessee?
Tennessee has as well. South Carolina has as well.
What's the deal with Clemson on them? Why isn't Clemson with that 15 miles from there? What's the deal?
I don't know about Clemson. Clemson never seemed to be much of a player on that one. But I thought South Carolina was going to be the team to beat throughout this, just because of the great success that they've had keeping these guys in state over the last couple of years with Jordan Birch, Zach Pickens. You know, I thought that was going to be a tough hill for Georgia to climb. But I really feel good about Georgia's chances with Tyrion Ingram Dawkins this week on Friday. Be looking for that one. No official word yet that I've seen as far as how he's going to do it, how he's going to release the news. I know that this is actually a little bit accelerated timeline from what he told me when we went up to see him up in Gaffney. It was looking like it was going to be mid-November, possibly for a commitment. So accelerated timeline, I think it benefits Georgia. More good news on the way, very potentially. And make sure to stay tuned to UGA Sports because we also went out into last week and saw Smile Munden, and we got a great piece coming with him, just kind of breaking down his recruitment, where Georgia stands and all of it. He's go watch the film. That's all I got to say. That's a top 100 kid. That's a linebacker you need all day. He was on our five guys to watch list as well. Amari Daniels on there. Xavien Sorey was another guy. So keep close eyes on that list. I think that you could see several of those names pop off. Nylon Green, definitely a guy to watch. Nylon's very, I don't want to say cagey. He's very, he's very quiet. And so he's a tough read. That could happen anytime. I mean, it could be happening right now for all I know, but Tennessee's made that very difficult. But Georgia in a great position, I think, for Nylon Green. And with Kamari Lassiter, I think Georgia is putting together a hell of a defensive back class. Now, there's not going to be a Keely Ringo in this class. I mean, there's not a five-star guy, number one, number two cornerback in this class. But if you look around at what they've got, I think that they've got some versatile pieces. Kamari and Javon Bullard are two guys that I think can play either side of the ball. So if you run into a situation where maybe they're not getting the playing time they need over a defensive back, they can play over a wide receiver. Both of them very capable there. I think Javon Bullard's a great star potential in the future. David Daniel looks like a grown man right now. There's no question in my mind about him and his ability once he arrives. He's carrying that Woodstock team, good for him. What a great young man. And then you got the number one JUCO cornerback in Dejon Warren. So I think that people are quick maybe to dismiss it a little bit because you don't have that Keely Ringo guy this year. I think that Charlton Warren deserves all the credit in the world. You got Nyland still in the mix, as well as Terrion Arnold. Going down the stretch here. So two of the top players left in the nation at that position. Kudos to him.
It's funny, last week we mentioned Ronnie Brown at DR Construction Maintenance. Ronnie's been a longtime listener to the show. He's now a sponsor of the show at DR Construction Maintenance. So if you're in Liberty County, Long County, or Bryan County, hit up DR Construction Maintenance. And I asked him the other day, I said, hey, any message you want to get out to the people that are watching, you know? He said, nope, just let him know that we're not done yet. So this is a guy who follows recruiting religiously. And he knew before the whole Kamari Lasser thing went down that Georgia was going to get some more guys. He's he knows how to read the signs. So he's out there seeing that, you know, reading the stories that, like you have, when guys are saying, hey, Georgia's recruiting me the hardest. Or especially when we talk to a kid, he's got a top five. And he says, this is what he'll say about Tennessee. This is what he'll say about Alabama. This is what he'll say about Georgia. And when you start reading their quotes that we have at UGA Sports all the time, you can get a great feel for where these kids are going to wind up. You know, when they talk about, oh, I have a good relationship with that and with the coaches there, and then they have a great history. That team's not in the running. But when you have a kid say, oh, I don't know, I talk to this coach every day, you know, for like an hour each day, that kind of gives you an idea. When you ask a kid and he goes, this team is recruiting me the hardest, and then all of a sudden, a few days later, he's out there telling you that he's about to make an announcement. That kind of gives you an idea of what might be happening. But also want to mention our friends over at Masada Leather, Urban. Been running Masada Leather and Gifts since 1975 here in Athens, Georgia. We're at the end of October. November starts. And next week will be into November. We're getting into the holidays. It's time for you to start thinking about all those holiday gifts that you need to get. Check out Masada Leather Gifts, because they have the great Birkenstocks. They have the custom sandals. They have the belts. You definitely want to get some of those belts out there. They have all the bags, you know, the shoulder bags, the PIMS, you know, the fashion bags, the utility bags, all the stuff that they make. Everything is just, it's fantastic. Just walk in the store. Walk in the store and smell it. It's the best smelling store in the world because of all that leather and all the work they do out there. And, of course, it all has a lifetime warranty. If you go back to them 10 years from now and say, hey, this, I get a little frayed edge here, you know, on this thing, they will fix it. And they can fix a lot of stuff for you. They're right in Five Points in downtown, in the Five Points area, to me, in the heart of Athens. Swing by there. They're between the Royal Peasant and Earth Fair. Park right there. There's some great little places to eat down there. But park there, go over, and get your holiday gifts now, because it's not like they have hundreds of these things. These are unique, handcrafted items over at Masada Leather and Gifts, and you want to get in and get them early so you can get the best selection. And, of course, everything will be warranted forever. So shout out to Masada Leather and Gifts and DR Construction Maintenance for sponsoring our show. We really appreciate it.
All right. It's that time of the week. We've actually got a game to talk about this week. So it's mouthwatering player time. Dane, I'm going to start with you. Roddy, I'm coming to you next, so you can't crib coach's answer. And then then I'll go, and then coach will throw it to you last. Dane, lead us off, man. Who you think makes a big difference for the Dogs this week against the Wildcats?
Let me do a Jim Donnan kind of thing here and ask you guys a question. Who are the top two leading sack guys in the SEC, the top two sack leaders in the SEC?
I'm going to say
I think B.J. Ojulari may be one.
Ojulari's one.
And guess who the other is?
Ojulari?
Aziz Ojulari. It's the Ojulari brothers. So I think it'd be silly not to take Aziz Ojulari as my mouth-watering player of the week. I think if you can get pressure on Kentucky quarterbacks, they'll make mistakes and get off the field on third down.
Shout out to Mansoor Ojolari, the father of those two. He's got to be feeling pretty, pretty good to have both of his sons leading the SEC in sacks. Roddy, who you got, man?
I'm sticking with James Cook. That's going to be my answer until they actually use him like they should.
All right.
James, that's not fair to say they should. I was kind of snarky when they put up UGA put out a video of him scoring that long touchdown yesterday, and I got kind of a little snarky saying, hey, use him more than three times. But when you saw the times that he was open against Alabama, you see what he can do catching the ball. You see what he can do running the ball. Feed him. And, again, Kenny Mack's been beat up a little bit. You saw what Kendall Milton can do. He's your five-star tailback for a reason. We know Zeus looks great between the tackles, but I'm like, if you have a guy with the skill set that James Cook does, I know coach has said it 1,000 times. I've said it 999 times. I'm going to crib off him anyway, because if coach is a believer, then I'm going to be a believer. But I just think we saw what – before the season started, I predicted this kid would have 1,000 yards and 50 catches. And we didn't see that in the first three games. But against Alabama, it looked like he could have just gone to him over and over and over again. And I don't see why that stops with Kentucky on the field.
All right. I'm going to go with the defensive side of the ball as well, Dane. And I'm going to go not with a specific player, but with a specific position. And that's the second cornerback. And whether that's DJ Daniel or Tyson Campbell, I think that that guy is important this week, because both of those guys kind of in need of a little bit of a bounce back. Tyson had a rough game against Alabama. DJ's been a little bit banged up, hasn't played too much over the last couple weeks. You know you're not probably going toward Eric Stokes. And if Kentucky's going to put the ball in the air at all, they're probably going to try to attack that second corner. I think that that guy is going to have a big week this week, probably redeem himself a lot as well. Coach, who you got, buddy?
I'm going George Pickens. I think he's probably as about overdue as you could be as far as him just getting more. You know, he had 7 targets last week, but they're going to gang up on the run till we prove we can throw the ball over the top. I look for us to take some deep shots to Pickens and some underneath stuff too when they bounce off of him.
You're laid back like Snoop Dogg with your mind on your money and your money on your mind. Like, got the arm propped up. You're ready to call George Pickens all day, baby.
I'm ready for George.
all right. That's I like it. I like the choices there. A lot of good options.
I agree. All right, folks, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Next Tuesday, we will be here, and we will be talking about Georgia and Kentucky, and then looking ahead to Georgia-Florida. It'll be Georgia-Florida week. This Thursday at 1 o'clock, we have Around the League, where we have Brent Rollins and Dane Young and Coach Donna. We'll talk about all the other – of course, they'll talk about Georgia, Kentucky, but they'll also talk about all the other SEC games out there. So it's a great show. If you're just a if you're a betting person, it's a great show to listen to. If you're also a person who likes just SEC football, you know, maybe you don't know as much about the depth chart at Tennessee as you do at Georgia, but if you want a great insights, you know, and the a great take, check out our show Thursday at 1 o'clock, Around the League with Coach Donnan, Dane Young, and Brent Rollins. And of course, we have a lot of other stuff at UGA Sports. It's a busy week this week as we head into the Kentucky game. So be sure to check out the dashboard with us up today. Coach Smart's press conference from yesterday, our story about all the news and notes. We got a ton of stuff at ujsports.com for you to check out. For Dane, Coach Donnan, Jake, and myself, we will see you next Tuesday. Take care.